that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hello everyone, you're listening to Battle Red Radio. I'm Matt Weston tonight. I'm joined by the Holden Ford to my Bill Hench, my good pal Taylor. How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very good. Very well.
All right, man. That's great. I don't even know what you just said. What'd you just call me?
It's Mindhunter.
Oh, wait, are you Bill?
Yeah, I'm the big, strong guy who just, like, doesn't want to hang out with his
wife. Yeah, but now I'm Holden, so I have panic attacks and I hang out with Kemper.
Yeah.
He's going to come touch my neck.
You love Kemper,
dude,
man.
Dude, he's going to give me a hug.
Or maybe I'm Kemper, and then you be Holden.
No, Tyler would be Kemper.
He's, like, 6'10".
He's gigantic.
Yeah.
Ooh, Mindhunters. God, I love that show.
Yeah, it's very good. Or it's fairly good. It's like enjoyable.
It's enjoyable, but it's also David Finch. Or
the
Fincher.
Only thing I like about that show is Bill's wife's hair. That curly hair.
Why?
I don't like
it. It's the style of that time.
I guess I just don't like it.
I will say about this season versus the first season, because I haven't finished, but I like Bill a lot more than Holden in the second season.
But
and I like Holden. Exactly. Which I thought that was kind of cool to see. I don't know. Maybe a change of character.
Oh.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, it's good. Great. Yeah. Television's good stuff. So,
dude, it's Netflix. Come on. You Netflix and chill all the time, right? That's a thing. That's what these kids do.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm an adult. I don't do that.
Oh.
I read.
You Hulu and chill?
I know. I lay outside and look at every star in the sky, and then I go to sleep.
Okay.
So we're.
You don't do that.
At the halfway mark of the NFL season. Today, I wrote a power rankings article where I ranked all teams, 32-1 in four separate tiers. We have the worst mediocre playoffs and the contenders, as well as some offseason awards. So let's talk about that for a second. You hear so this is the worst tier. These are the bottom eight teams. You ready?
Tell me your bottom.
Miami, the Jets, Cincy, Washington, New York Giants, Atlanta, Cleveland, and then Denver. Do you like that bottom eight? Is there anything you would change there?
Man. All right. So, Matt, I'm going to give you, for the first tier that we are mentioning here, I'm going to give you an A+.
A+?
I agree. Every team in that, the only one that's been to
I
know. You are getting a compliment from me. It's a big deal. I don't think I've ever given you a compliment.
I'm
going
to write this down in my diary.
Hey, man.
Hey, I'm tough.
I don't pick against my own team, just saying. But either way, I'm agreeing because the biggest disappointment is Cleveland. Atlanta, you have to put down there no matter what. Everybody else is just bad. Denver,
Yeah. If they figure their defense out.
Yeah.
But they have an awful quarterback.
Exactly. And they have that issue.
The funniest thing everyone Flacco was like, I feel like our offense isn't aggressive enough and we don't take advantage of the opportunities that we have. It's like, Joe, it's because you're the quarterback. You're the problem. It's not the coordinator. It's you.
Matt, we'll talk about it too because we're going to talk about the 49ers. Why does Emmanuel Sanders look so good?
The only thing I'm mad about that was like 3 weeks ago. I was like, all right, I'm going to write 10 things. I'm going to have a section on, we need to appreciate Emmanuel Sanders.
What?
Because he's been great in Denver for 4 years now.
Wait, did you write that article?
No, I didn't get the chance to. I was mad.
God.
And then he trades to San Francisco.
Now I don't even believe you.
And then everybody's like, man, Emmanuel Sanders, wow, bro. Wow, he's so chill. He's great.
I don't even believe that you're going to write that now.
I know it's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Well,
I need to see a date and a notepad. Do you got one of those that say that you're going to write
this? I'll show you in the gym.
Show me the notes ahead of time, and I'll give you the benefit of the doubt here.
Okay. It's hard. I work at the factory 8 hours a week. I got family
what
I got to
take
care of. I got to go to the gym.
What factory is here?
and they got to put out content. Cause all
is it the Willy Wonka factory?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, in a way. It's like, no, I'm more like
where
Scully.
Where do you work?
I'm
what
like,
area?
I'm like Scully from Monsters, Inc. more than that. And then Yeah, I gotta do that. And then also, I love to put out content, kind of. So for the mediocre, I have Arizona, Tampa, Chicago, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Los Angeles, Chargers, Pittsburgh, Detroit.
I don't know about the last two that you just mentioned there. And that's just because Pittsburgh has something special going on. So I don't want to say that maybe overall with the team, when you go individual player, sure. But they have some type of belief going down there, and that's something that is going. Yeah, I don't
it's
even.
It's magical.
It's magic. Whatever's it's happening magic.
In Pittsburgh is magical.
Whatever quarterback you put, it doesn't matter. They're going to win. But the other one, Detroit. I mean, Detroit's putting up fights. They're just losing.
They have a pass rush. Yeah. And their linebackers are bad.
But their offense looks a hell of a lot better. They just seem like they're not pulling it out in the end. But they're close. So. Sure, mediocre, but
they're 3-4-1, you know.
I would put those teams above the rest, but yeah, I would still agree overall, though.
Yeah, I think Arizona's the best bad team. Like
you
talked
still
about
think that
week.
Even over like Detroit, they tied, man, so we could be on a coin flip in this situation.
But I mean, all the numbers kind of point. Like Detroit's beating better teams. Like Arizona's beat 3 bad teams, and then they lost 2 close games.
They weren't even supposed to win any games, though.
Yeah, no, but like...
Yeah, so it's just impressive.
I'm not saying they're having a bad season. Like, this is a great season for them.
I think it's
them.
A wonderful season.
I just think they're the best bad team out there.
Yeah. Detroit's so... I feel bad on some of their losses, though.
I feel bad for Stafford. Like, he would be an MVP candidate if they were a playoff team. And it's also funny, too, that Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator for Seattle all those years, like, he doesn't throw the ball enough. He's not taking advantage of Wilson at all. And he's the offensive coordinator who's broken Matthew Stafford back open.
And he's doing great because Marvin Jones Jr. is coming alive. It seems like it's working really well, and I just hate that Detroit's not winning because I actually expected them to continue to perform well where they would be winning games, and I thought they would be contending, but they just, every single week, it's so close, and it's just, nope, comes up short.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about Tampa real fast.
Of course. Let's hop on the bandwagon that I hop off, but I want to hop back on. But now I'm on.
My feelings,
Matt,
still
we don't
changed.
Want you anymore. You're done.
I mean, my feelings, I'm still in change.
Take off your Hawaiian shirt. You're not allowed.
So they're 2-6 right now, but they're the unluckiest team in football again this year. So they're 4th in points scored, 31st in points allowed. Their expected win-loss record is -1.6, which is absurd for being at the halfway mark of the season. Like, -1.6 usually leads the league at the end of the year, and they're at that at this point in the season. They have 18 offensive turnovers, just 31st. Guess how many, like, in their preseason, we're like, yeah, Winston throws, like, 9 interceptions. That'd be spectacular for him. Guess how many he's thrown so far this year?
11.
12.
He's tied for first
with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, but he has more touchdowns for sure than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, but he still has thrown 12 interceptions. Their one possession record is 1-4. They've lost their last 3 games by 1 scores. They lost to Tennessee because they tried to run the ball on 4th-and-1 at like the 35-yard line. At the 40-yard line, they were stopped. They just constantly, I don't know, it's just bad luck. But I'm bringing all this up just because Winston played the best game of his career last week in Seattle. He was 29-44 for 335 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, was only sacked twice. He didn't have like a really deep passing completion at all either. It was a lot of intermediate stuff. He was really good on the run too. And next year is the year.
Matt, I'm not listening to you right now. Oh my God. I'm not listening to you right now. We're done. And I feel like you're going to try to make it up in this offseason just to write so many articles about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You might as well move to Tampa at this point because you're just going to be all in with them.
Yeah, I am.
You're going to bet everything.
I was on this year and I looked at the schedule. I was like,
yeah? Is that what you did?
Oh, yeah. We recorded this.
Yeah, you looked at the schedule and that's what it was.
It
not
sucked.
For how bad they were looking at the beginning.
I picked them to miss the playoffs after I looked at the schedule.
Dude, you're never hopping on this bandwagon again.
There's no bandwagon to hop on. There's no wagon.
Whatever wagon is in Florida, you are not on
no
it.
Wagon.
That is the rule.
All
there's
is,
something there.
It's just like
is it
some
a sailboat.
No, it's like some busted tires in the backyard with weeds growing through the spokes.
Sound a good place.
It's not even like a car tire. It's a bunch of bike tires. There's no wagon at all here.
you know what? Either way, whatever you have, bike tires, whatever, you're not allowed.
Yeah. I picked him to go 8-8.
No, you're not allowed to go 8-8.
But next year is the year they make the playoffs. It does suck they played tough, but their schedule's about to get easier. They're going to win some games. They'll be fine. They'll win six games.
They're going to be fine.
But I do think they should give
God, you're such a believer Winston, over there in the Bucks.
They should give Winston the franchise tag, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they should do.
I don't think they should do anything with Winston, to be honest with you.
Or do you want to see, like, Cam
Newton? They're
going to
draft. No, because Cam Newton's not even healthy.
They're not going to be bad enough to draft a quarterback early. Do you want to see Andy Dalton in Tampa?
No.
Do you want to see Joe Flacco in Tampa?
God, that all sounds bad. Get rid of all of those
guys.
Do
you want to see Nick Foles in Tampa?
No, Nick Foles isn't going anywhere.
They're
going
to trade Foles.
No, they're not.
They're going to try to trade Foles.
Why?
Because they have to pay him $27 million next year.
He deserves it because what he's going to do to Jacksonville.
Well, that's different.
Matt, the run is about to begin. Are you ready for this? Jesus is coming.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, like, I'd rather pay Minshew $600,000 than paying Foles $27 million. And so I think they're going to try to bump his trade value up. And I think maybe Elway may trade for him. Because, I mean, if he traded for Flacco, he'll trade for anybody.
The problem is Elway has to know the rule, which is he's not supposed to come in until week 11, week 12.
Yeah.
Do you have a quarterback that's going to be able to sustain? Yeah. And guess what? Elway can't find anybody. Elway is terrible, just to let you know.
Yeah, we know this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We've talked about this so many times. But how long
it's
is
like
it going to take?
It's like saying Lamar Jackson's a quarterback.
But you can never fire him. And is he ever going to step down because of ego?
You'd have to fire him.
How?
Just fire him.
It's John Elway.
Who cares?
He's a Denver Broncos legend.
Get him out of there.
I agree, but still.
So playoffs. This is starting with team number 16.
Okay.
I have Buffalo, Oakland, Carolina, Indy, Los Angeles Rams, Philly, Dallas, Minnesota.
I hate so much. See, that's my thing. I hate so much that you have the Rams up here. And why do you have Oakland?
I really like Oakland.
Why do you like Oakland?
They have the most fun offensive line watch this year. Josh Jacobs is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Carr's playing as good as he did in 2016 whenever he broke his hand. And then Connor
Cook playing for
his
job.
Star playoff game. Well, and also like the pass protection is really good again.
Don't you?
John Gruden's done so much without having a number one wide receiver. And he's done a really good job creating like open receivers to his tight ends too. And their defense, like they can cover okay, but they can't rush the passer. Their linebackers are bad, but they can stop the run. And I like Max Crosby a lot, but like they've been like the feel good hit of this season, I think. And there's like this huge like Antonio sized brown hole in that offense, and they've done a really great job working around it.
All right, I'll buy in the Oakland. I'm not buying the Rams.
I can understand that.
Yeah, you can't sell me on this one. I think you should drop this team down a little bit here.
Maybe so. I mean, I picked them to miss the playoffs.
What do you? Okay. You can't say that you picked them to make the playoffs because what was this tier's title?
Playoffs with a question mark.
That's the title of your tier here.
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
Yeah.
But not a for sure playoffs.
Not for sure.
But you didn't pick them to go to the playoffs in the offseason.
Yeah.
So why are you still putting them in that tier?
Well, I mean, because there's 16 teams here.
Man, why don't
they're
we
in the
that?
Top 16
why don't we,
teams.
Why don't we switch some teams up here?
Can't.
Right? You know what? We're going to switch this article up. All right. Editor, get on this.
I'm the editor. And also, it's just like four sets of eight goes very well. And then contenders, I have Houston, Seattle, New England, New Orleans, Baltimore, Green Bay, Kansas City, San Francisco. I don't feel very good about any. Like you could put any of these teams 1 through 8, and you can even drop Houston for like Minnesota or Dallas.
Where'd you put Houston and Dallas?
I have Dallas 10th. I have Houston 8th.
Okay.
Just because Houston has an easier schedule.
Yeah, no. I was going to say, you're in the AFC. That actually works completely fine with me. In fact, you say I have an easier schedule. Your division's much more difficult than mine.
Yeah, but the Cowboys have to play tougher teams from this point on. Like, it's fairly even. The thing is, like, Houston has a rough three-game spot.
This week
and they
Kirk
end the season with
nice.
Two games against Tennessee, Denver, and Tampa.
Yeah.
I don't really want to go to that game, but...
You're not allowed to go to that game. Okay? You're just not allowed to stay anywhere near that team.
Yeah, I'm going to be a traveling Texan, man.
No.
We talked to Steph Stroud, or I talked to Steph Stroud last night. I'm ready to be a traveling Texan. I'm ready to go.
Oh yeah, that's what you're.
Go to Tampa.
Here's a rule though. Whenever you are actually traveling and you're a part of the whole Texan team,
I have to be a Texan fan.
You have to be a Texan fan. You actually have to choose your team.
I'd be like, yeah,
to win the game, and you can't be wearing other sports gear from the other side.
Like, yeah, we're taking a photo over here. It's gonna be at 7 o'clock at the Arby's. Okay, I'll see y'all there. And it's actually at 1 o'clock over at. I don't know. At the beach. I don't know what they're
going
in Tampa.
To Arby's.
Yeah, they're going to tell me the completely wrong location.
Are you
because
making
they don't
an Arby's sandwich?
There. I'm making a joke that they won't invite me.
You know what,
me.
Man? It's not
photo.
A very good one because nobody's going to Arby's these days. Is that where people go? Is that what, do you go to hang out in Arby's parking lot?
I drive past
lots?
An Arby's every day and there's always people there.
There's people there.
Every day. I'm like, who's going there?
Who are you?
As bad. Well, my life's good. But like, if I'm having
drugs.
A bad day, I'm like, oh, my life's not that bad. At least I didn't go to Arby's today.
You go to Arby's?
No, I've never
been. I haven't had an Arby's sandwich in years.
Yeah, never.
But it's still in business. People go.
Yeah.
So, we're the losers.
Every time I see the commercial for their sandwiches, I'm like, we keep pushing ourselves farther and farther from God.
This is sponsored by Arby's.
I need to go to church. Yeah, look at the commercial. I'm like, I'm going to church tomorrow. The devil makes those sandwiches. Here are my awards at the halfway part.
All right, let me hear the awards.
MVP, Russell Wilson.
Okay, duh.
Offensive Player of the Year, Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
Defensive Player of the Year, Myles Garrett.
Okay.
Offensive Rookie of the Year, Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
Defensive Rookie of the Year, Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
Comeback Player of the Year. You ready for this one?
Yeah, give me this one.
Travis Frederick.
Yeah, that one's easy, actually.
Maybe.
That one's pretty easy.
I hope he gets it.
He deserves
awesome.
It, yeah.
He's so strong.
Duh. Wait, did you hear what the Jets were offering?
They wanted Doug Martin for Jamal Adams, right?
No. It was two guys. It was either Smith or it was Frederick. And all Jerry did was just laugh.
I mean, maybe Smith wouldn't be that bad of a trade.
I just, no.
Because you get off that contract, and he's so, like, he just doesn't play every game.
He's Iron Man. He's made of metal at this point. He's fine. We just stick him in their spot.
Well, I mean, he's definitely just like Pickle Rick. Like, he's made out of, like, sticks and has an entire exoskeleton. The Coach of the Year, Kyle Shanahan.
Okay.
Executive of the Year, Brandon Bean, the guy up in Buffalo. Great job up there.
Yeah, okay. All right. We both know that you're reaching in his back pocket right now.
My Super Bowl pick, I'm sticking with the same pick I made in the preseason because it's still alive. I'm not going to be a coward. I have the Eagles over the Patriots.
Mine's still alive.
Yeah, it's still alive, so I'm not going to run away from it. I'm sticking to it. We're staying there.
Yeah. I think actually mine's dead.
What was yours?
Actually,
I think you had Pittsburgh and...
Even though mine's technically still alive. But I had Pittsburgh and Dallas.
Because
I said I'm a true fan, so I stick with my team until
that's
the
good.
End. Even though the one that we blew up in everyone's face, because you were included in this, Chicago, Chicago, Chicago.
Yeah. I thought Trubisky would be better.
Oh, my God.
He wasn't.
What do you do with that? Because that's the thing. What do you do now? If you're Chicago,
I think.
What do you do?
I mean, I think part of it is.
He regressed.
He did. But, like. I don't know.
A lot.
Also, I watched that offense, and it's stupid.
Granted,
it's
I'm not
going
to argue
stupid.
With this.
Like,
yeah.
It's
we've talked about this, too.
Like, they're at their best, and they're running the ball vertically, and they spread out, and then they run some, like, throws down the middle of the field to, you know, spread the field out some. You know what I mean? And they also just, like, give Allen Robinson more shots on the sideline. Like, Robinson can have games where he has one target.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like, they played Philadelphia. So awesome. I think he had one catch against Philadelphia.
But that's what
Philadelphia can't run with anybody on the outside.
Matt, do you know they had 9 total yards into the third quarter? They had 9 total yards.
Anything.
How is that possible? And by the way, how do you go into halftime and you're not looking at him going, we're going to have to sit you? Instead of, we got this. Game plan is going to change nothing.
I think Matt Nagy's lost his mind too.
That's
you hear
true.
All something that, like, he was like, he kept watching the kick over and over again. Like, he was Jack Nicholson, The Shining.
What?
Yeah, he would just keep watching the kick over and over again.
Why?
He would just keep it playing in their locker room and stuff.
Tell him to stop.
Like, think
that.
About this pain and then remember that this year.
What?
Just typing on his keyboard, all work and no play, you know? And then, I mean, also, I may not watch the
it's
Bears
like
for the rest
Ray
of the season,
Finkel
too.
And Ace Ventura thing going on here.
Nah, I mean, that's The Shining. But
Laces
I'm not
going
to watch the Bears probably getting this year because I watched that Chargers game.
We're not watching the Bears.
Four red zone trips. And these are all like within the 5 yard line, 9 points. They have a timeout left in 43 seconds. They settle for a 4-3-yard field goal. They miss. They lose. And that was in their season pretty much. And, you know, good for them. But, yeah, the North is mean. We kind of thought that going into the year. And the Keem Hicks thing has really hurt their ability to stop the run, too. So, this week, Week 10, we have the Chargers playing the Raiders, Atlanta, New Orleans, Buffalo, Cleveland, KC, Tennessee. That sounds like good barbecue sauce, KC, Tennessee.
Yeah, I do like that.
Arizona, Tampa Bay, New York Giants, New York Jets, Detroit, Chicago, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Miami, Indy, Los Angeles, Rams, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Green Bay, primetime games from Minnesota, Dallas, and Seattle, San Francisco. Last week for the picks, I went 1-3, you went 2-2, you caught up. We're both 16-18.
Hey man, can you tell the audience how I caught up, please?
I picked the Texans to win, but I picked the Jaguars for the points, even though they were only a 1.5-point spread.
Yep. I can't remember. Texans won. I think you talked a lot of smack about me, too, about the score, about what it was going to be. By the way, I do have a diary of everything that Matt has said that is wrong. I just want to let you know. I do have that diary, and I write these things down every single week. And this is my first thing I wanted to bring up. You were wrong.
I'm glad I get to live rent-free in your head. I'm glad. So this week, we're going to talk about KC Tennessee, the barbecue sauce matchup. The Chiefs are 6-point favorites. We'll talk about the Rams Steelers. The Rams are 3.5-point favorites. Minnesota, Dallas, of course. Cowboys are 3-point favorites. And then Seattle, San Francisco are 6-point favorites. So, KC, Tennessee, the barbecue matchup. You want to hear about how bad Marcus Mariota was and how good Ryan Tannehill's been compared to him?
Actually, for the comparisons, yeah, I really do.
So, the last game that Marcus Mariota played was against the Denver Broncos. He was 7-for-18.
Sounds good.
38.8% completion percentage.
Awesome.
Net yards per attempt, -1.5.
Now we're talking.
63 passing yards, 3.5 yards attempt, 0 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. One of the interceptions led to 7 points for Denver, and I think they scored 10 points that entire game. And Mariota's DVOA that game was -53.3%. If you don't include the Cleveland game where they had all those interceptions in the fourth quarter that blew that game open to like a 43-point score they had, their points scored after that, Mariota, 17-7, 24, 7, then 0. Ryan Tannehill, 23 points, 27-20. There is passing DVOA, 44.5%, 26.8%, 76.9%. His completion percentage is 12 points higher than Mariota. His touchdown rate's 0.7% more. He's taking his sack rate's 10%, which is very high, but Mariota's is 13.6%. He's averaging a full yards more per attempt, too. And really the biggest difference between the two quarterbacks, you watch him, it's like, oh, Ryan Tannehill can throw the ball downfield.
That's all it is.
And he knows that Corey Davis and A.J. Brown are good.
Yeah. Hey, I can throw it to these receivers and they're going to catch it, even if I throw it a little bit behind them. Granted, they had some tips, but still.
I know Mariota had one of the highest drop rates against him. It's like when you're making aggressive throws in tight windows and put them in harder situations, you know, it's harder. Which is a very dumb sense. Compared to Tannehill, has like a better arm. Like he makes some hot throws. Like these are babes he's throwing around.
Yes, he has a cannon behind it. The problem is, it's like what you hate about him. He's gonna make mistakes, and you know he's gonna make mistakes, and he gets too gunslinging happy. He just needs to understand. Hey, you got a big back behind you. It's okay.
Yeah,
that was game plan. I don't know if that was him or coaching last game. That was bad.
Yeah. So the Titans lost to the Panthers last week. The Titans against like the 30th ranked run defense, they gave Derrick Henry the ball twice. And this is a team that's like wants to be tough and disciplined and physical. Here's two carries, Derrick Henry. And then in the second half, I think he had 2 touchdowns. And I love watching Derrick Henry on toss plays. Like I love their toss plays.
It was too little too late. And it's like if they did that from the very start, they would have been able to win the game. Even though I will say it makes it a lot harder when your kicker sucks. AKA suck up.
Well, he just got back to health.
Still.
Well, I had the backup kicker, and then he came back. And
he missed like a 44-yarder, man. If it's 45 yards, the kicker's in the NFL, I am going to have a son just so he can be a kicker this year, Matt. This is ridiculous.
You better hurry that up.
I know. I got to get going.
Yeah, do that. Oh, wait, hop in a spaceship.
And
then you travel really fast, faster than the speed of light, and then come back to Earth and be, you know, 21 years old.
Dude, I read comic books. It's possible. Trust me.
Well, going backwards isn't possible. Going in the future.
No,
is
no,
possible.
No. Going backwards is possible. Yeah. Ask Superman. Yes, yeah. It is. Do you want to get on this?
I don't want to talk about this. So Derrick Henry with Marcus Mariota, 3.68 yards a carry. With Ryan Tannehill, 4.47 yards a carry.
You have to 51 worry about
carries,
things.
228 yards. Yeah, and I mean, like, really, like, Washington Titans offense was really annoying earlier this year because, like, you're talking about, like, oh, Corey Davis is really good. Dom Humphries is good. Oh, A.J. Brown's, like, a really physical slot receiver. They have these guys. You know you can throw them the ball, right?
It's cool.
And it's never been kind of fun to watch. But, yeah, I mean, like, the offense is different because they're in the more light boxes for Derrick Henry. They're not just, like, bashing his head into the concrete. And they're throwing the ball downfield. And, like, Tannehill's, he's, like, the best backup quarterback you can have. I don't think he's a starting quarterback necessarily.
You and I still disagree a little bit on this because I don't think he's too much of a backup. Like, I really don't think he's a backup. I think he's a little bit better than a backup.
Yeah.
I really do.
I can see that. I think, but that's what I mean. He's like the best backup quarterback you could have by saying that.
I'd put him in probably, you can put him 18 in the quarterback in the NFL. Like, I feel like that would be his ceiling maybe. Which I don't think that's too bad. I put him like 18 best in the NFL. 24th. That'd be like a ceiling.
I put him like 24th.
Man, you're such an ass.
Like slightly ahead of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's so sweet of you.
But he holds on the ball too long. He takes too many bad snaps. He takes some bad hits too. He's going to get hurt. And he's not very fast. And then the other thing about him too is like he just makes bad mistakes. Like he's thrown a couple passes that should have been picked off that weren't. But I do like him a lot whenever they give him a lot more five-step drops where he's not so close to the line of scrimmage so he can hold on to the ball, like watch the defense as he's stepping back, or like watch his receivers as he's stepping backwards because he does have the arm talent and he has a good he's a good downfield thrower too. But yeah, I mean, like they're a lot more enjoyable to watch. Like the times are kind of fun with Tannehill compared. Like they're absolutely miserable and wretched with Mariota.
Jump to the other side now. Who do you like better as far as quarterbacks? Who'd you rather have as your starting quarterback, Matt?
I mean, I've said I'll take this to my grave, you know. If Matt Moore was the quarterback for the Texans in 2016, they could have won
the
Super Bowl.
So you would take Matt Moore in this game over Tannehill?
Yeah.
What?
I love Matt Moore.
Okay, I want to say this too. At first, I wanted to take back what... Man, see, I'm jumping off a bandwagon, hopping back and off here. I want to say that Patrick Mahomes, I want to give him credit. But then, now Matt Moore, whenever he is playing, Tyreek Hill is the best receiver in the league. I want you to convince me otherwise.
DeAndre Hopkins is better.
No. This tiny man somehow can outcatch any corner that's on him that's double the size. He is so impressive. It is crazy how good Tyreek Hill is.
He's spectacular.
Matt, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's funny, too, because like the three throws he had against Minnesota, it's just like Matt Moore off his back foot, just throwing it up to him.
And that's all you have to do, and I've said that. If you have Tyreek Hill, guess what? He's going to beat him. You cannot have him single coverage. If a team ever has him singled, you lost.
I mean, the difference, though, it's like with Mahomes, you'll score 45 points, and with Matt Moore, you'll score 30 points. Their offense is different with him. It's a lot more running. It's a lot more play action. They're not throwing the ball deep constantly. They're setting up their deep passing throws.
Well, Matt,
it's a lot shorter as well, too.
Let's talk about something different, then. Is their defense that good?
Whose defense?
Kansas City.
No, it's bad.
What are you talking about? They've been performing, though.
No, it's like...
There's some belief here.
This is the difference, is they have Chris Jones back. And Chris Jones is like having J.J. Watt on your defense.
I still think the Honey Badger is the way to go.
He didn't do he didn't do anything last week, which is good. You don't want him to do anything. Like if you see him on the screen, it's bad for your defense. But yeah, Chris Jones is back. Their front four is getting healthy. And also, I like Nandi. He's had a lot of big run plays last week against Minnesota. They have that guy. His name's like KNS. I have no idea how to say it, but he's pretty good too.
That doesn't make sense.
Ogba is a fine pass rusher as well. But like the biggest thing is Chris Jones is back and Anthony Hitchens is back. And like he's just a guy, but even having as mediocre as possible is a big boost for their linebacker group too. But the difference is like with Mahomes, you score 45 points, and with Moore, you score 30 points.
So then, just so we could touch on this as well, would you really play, since you can see how Matt Moore has been doing, would you play Mahomes in this game?
I wouldn't
at all.
There's
like,
no
why
to.
Even risk it? Exactly. You can win. The you only, see that your team's adequate. Come on.
The only reason why you would is that the Titans have a bad pass rush. They're 32nd in pressure rate. They're 18th in just a sack rate. Their leader in pressures is Harold Landry, or Cameron Wake with 13. He's only played 7 games this year. Landry is 11. Jarrell Casey is 11. Then nobody else has any at all. And so, like, they don't create, and they have to blitz a ton. Like, Logan Ryan's second on the team in sacks with 2.5. or he's third on the team in sacks with 2.5. So they blitz a lot of safeties. They blitz their corners a bunch. They can't get pass rush, but Jeffrey Simmons just got back, their first-round pick, and he's been a lot of fun to watch too. So hopefully pairing him with Jarrell Casey a lot will create more of a pass rush for him. But they cover well. They just can't get to the quarterback at all. And so that'd be the one reason why you play Mahomes this game. He had plenty of time to throw. Things would be nice and cozy. You know, he can pick up the – he's great against the blitz too.
You don't need to play Mahomes at all. He had a kneecap that was put back in place in the middle of the field. He's been out, what, 2 weeks?
It's pretty cool.
He's been out, what, 2 weeks?
Three?
Yeah.
3 weeks
and we're okay? That's it? We're cool?
I think they had a bye week in there, too.
I think Morris that was three weeks, including the bye week.
Maybe. Morris played three games so far. Maybe so they've scored 30 points, 24 points, 26 points. Their passing offense DVOA with Morris been 43.4%. 45.3%, then 23%. The difference is they can't run the ball. I think the best thing to happen to this team, too, is that LeSean McCoy fumbled because Damian Williams is playing now, and Williams is so much better than McCoy is.
I would agree with you, except... Okay, not except. I would say that the best running back on the team is exactly Damian Williams, and you could clearly see whenever he decided to run the ball. I just wanted to bring up the one play wherever he broke away for the touchdown.
And Tyreek Hill,
yeah. Oh, my, man.
Like 30 yards behind
man,
him.
Man, he caught him, and then he started yanking him and pulling him so that he could go faster, so then he can hop into the stands. Matt, this isn't – Matt, he's my size. This shouldn't be normal that a human being can do this.
He's very fast. He's incredibly fast.
He is a Madden character.
Do you think humans are evolving?
I don't know, but he is making me believe something. Like, my God.
I mean, he's been doing this for like 3 years now.
I get it, but he's also out-muscling individuals. That's also my other point with him. I never expected that. I expected you to be a Brandon Cooks, a fragile wide receiver that's not going to manhandle
a
corner.
I mean, Cooks has had head injuries, which you really can't control.
Tyreek Hill is like shoving guys off of him. The hell?
Oh, he's just, like I said, Moore's like throwing a lot of back foot passes to him. They worked out well. And also, he outruns guys so much, he's able to turn back around, run to the ball, too.
I agree.
Yeah, he's fun to watch.
I'm just saying, it's
well, he had that touchdown catch against Houston where he jumped over Justin Reed and caught it, and that was cool. So what's your pick for this game? And again, the Chiefs are 6-point favorites on the road.
So I actually... All right, well, wait. So my pick's going to change a little bit. Are we expecting Matt Moore to play?
I'm expecting Matt Moore.
Okay, if you're expecting Matt Moore, then I have technically Tennessee. I have Tennessee 23. I have Kansas City 28. 6 points if Matt Moore's playing?
I have 30-24 KC, and I would pick... I'm picking KC. But like, if you look at the points allowed this year, I think the most points Tennessee's allowed are 23 so far.
Hey, you can't pick that, though. If the points is six, there's no push.
Yeah, I'm not picking the push. I'm picking Kansas City.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, but like, Tennessee hasn't given up a lot of points. Their defense is good. Their run defense is really good. If you want a player to watch this game, Rashawn Evans is a lot of fun as inside linebacker. He's a good cowboy collar. He covers the pass well, too. He's really good at like counting plays off from the backside. Very fast. He's a former first-round pick from Alabama.
Derrick Henry's going to have 120 yards this game.
He needs to.
He's like, going to have 120 yards
this game. They can play the game to beat Kansas City. They just have to get a lead and be able to do that.
Just say, hey, Brian, we're going to be patient. We're going to be patient. We're not going to throw.
I hope not. They can. I mean, they
can. Give it to Henry. Don't give it to Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis sucks.
Their offensive line's been kind of crappy in Tennessee, too, though.
It's true.
You know, they put a bunch of
Even though it's like what you said, he holds the ball too long.
Well, I mean, also Henry. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, Sacks are more of a quarterback record. I'm just saying also their running blocking. Their run blocking hasn't been that good. So the next game here we have is Los Angeles going to Pittsburgh. The Rams are 5-3. They recently beat the Atlanta Falcons. Bengals.
It's good.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are 4-4. And so the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, they're 16th against the pass, 16th against the run. Their linebacking group has been good, but their defensive line, their first level, hasn't been all that great. But the problem is that the Rams still can't run the ball. They're running an interior of Blythe, David Edwards, and Brian Allen. They're running offense DVO against the Lambs, negative 29%. It was negative 10% in Cincinnati, which is kind of impossible because Cincinnati is the worst linebacker group you'll ever see.
It's true.
This was their running total against Atlanta. 36 carries for 90 yards. Against Cincinnati, 26 carries for 98 yards. It's still bad. And Goff has been better against two really bad pass defenses. But I don't know. They're in a bad spot right now.
Yeah, this team's not very good. And it's clearly been shown.
all they're trying to do is rely on Goff, that he was going to be able to take the next step so that they didn't have to rely on the running game. It's like what you and I talked about going into the season. They were going to try to take so much slack off of Gurley that he wasn't going to be able to run the ball. And
they're going to like savor him.
Yeah, and by the way, it's still way too conscious how they're being with him. I just don't agree overall, I'll be honest with you. Because what do you expect him to do in the playoffs if his body hasn't had that type of workload before?
Well, I mean, they would give him workload like week 12. Like, now is the time. Okay,
so now you're saying that he's going to get the workload.
He needs it now. They're going to miss the playoffs if he doesn't.
So if that's what you're saying, then he needs to have the workload. Because, exactly, that's where they're going to be able to win the game. Jared Goff is not going to sustain this. And once he plays against good teams, such as this Pittsburgh Steelers defense at Pittsburgh, by the way, because there's some, what's the Angels in the Outfield going on? It's like, what's the movie? This is what's going on here. It's Angels in the Outfield, man. Pittsburgh Steelers have some magic happening where it's not Russell Wilson magic. It's Angels in the Outfield.
Okay, well, they beat the Chargers 24-17.
It's impressive.
That game also had, I think, the Chargers fumbling in the goal line. The Chargers had some very dumb happen and lose that game.
Oh, isn't that weird? Isn't that exactly what happens in Angels in the Outfield?
I don't know. They beat the Dolphins.
What do you mean, don't know? It's
and they
Gordon
beat
Libby,
and they
bro.
Beat Brian Hoyer by 2 points last week. So I don't think it's really been magic at all.
Angels in the Outfield.
I think they have a good pass defense, and that's been important for them. And they have a good offensive line. They have good skill players. They've been able to prop up Mason Rudolph some too. The one problem I think Pittsburgh has in this game is that you have Ramsey against Juju Smith-Schuster, and who knows what Schuster can do in that game. Rudolph hasn't been all that great at all. He's been kind of bad.
Did you hear, I don't know if this is true, maybe you know, I haven't heard this, that it's because Mason Rudolph, whenever he's throwing, his mouth is like open, and that's why it's causing him to get
knocked out?
Yeah.
I never realized that. Once.
Well, yeah, but they even said that it almost happened this past game. That somebody hit him, and it was because his mouth was open whenever he was throwing the ball, and he almost knocked himself out once again. I didn't know that was a thing. Did you?
No, I had no idea. Why is he wearing a mouthpiece?
I don't know. I just
wear him. I don't understand guys who play without mouthpieces.
Why is your mouth open?
Yeah.
Close your mouth.
Wear a mouthpiece.
Yeah, do something.
I mean, like, you can't control that portion of it. So, Pittsburgh hasn't been able to stop the run that well, but the Rams can't run the ball this year. And unless Gurley just pops up out of nowhere, who knows what they're going to be able to do. So Goff also last 2 weeks, 39-68, 57.4% completion percentage, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 9.4 yards attempt. But 13 of those 18 targets have gone to Cooper Kupp. That accounted for 9 first downs and 1 touchdown.
Cooper Kupp's just so good.
Cook is hurt. Woods is still there. I don't see it for Los Angeles this game.
Ooh, yeah. Spoiler alert.
And so that if the Steelers do win this game, they're going to be 5-4 then. This is the rest of their schedule. They have Cleveland twice. They always beat Cleveland. Cincinnati.
Anyone's going to beat Cleveland now.
Cincinnati, Arizona, the New York Jets.
What?
That's the rest of their schedule. They have the 29th toughest schedule in the year.
How is that not the last toughest schedule? Who's playing Miami 4 times?
I can pull it up and see what the easiest one is.
How is that not the easiest?
But there's one of the very important team on this list. You ready? And these they're playing tougher teams too, but these are the easiest ones.
So 4 games.
They're playing Buffalo week 15. It's okay. Going to be for a playoff spot. And it's going to break my heart. I'm going to be so upset.
You know why? Because they're just going to dump it off to Samuels about 15 times.
No, they're going to run. They're offenses. Just going to run the ball a lot.
They dump it off. Samuels has like 12 catches every game for like 3 yards.
I'm just saying that because the Bills have trouble stopping the run this year. Well, that's what happened to them against Philadelphia. And they've had bad rushing defense this year. Starlet Touye has been bad for them. Their run fits have been kind of out of whack. And they play so many guys in their front seven in this part of it too. But yeah, I'm gonna be so devastated.
Yeah, I can't wait for your.
The Steelers knocked the Bills out of the playoffs.
All right, you gotta make a deal then. If they get knocked out of the playoffs, you have to burn your Buffalo Bills shirt.
No, because it's only 1 year.
You gotta burn it.
Josh Allen, this is his second year.
Dude, you're a Texan fan. What's burning a Buffalo Bills shirt gonna do to you?
I like other things.
Dude, you're such a poser.
I like other things out there, you know. So yeah, I'm picking the Steelers to win this game. I have them winning 26-23.
All right. Wait, what's the point spread, though?
3.5 Los Angeles.
So you're technically picking Los Angeles?
No, I'm picking the Steelers.
Oh, my God. Los Angeles are that big of a
3.5-point favorites.
Whoa. All right. So I'm going to pick... This one's a tough one because I really think I want to believe Angels in the Outfield is real, but I don't.
It really hasn't even been that magical, though.
Oh yeah, but it's still Angels in the Outfield. I never expected them to be what
they
are.
Miami.
The fact that they're 500, that's so impressive.
The best game they have is they lost to the Ravens in overtime.
That's so impressive.
Yeah, I'm just saying that their three wins aren't that impressive.
All right, I'm actually going to pick the Rams on this.
Okay.
I'm going to pick the Rams. Why? 25. Picking the Steelers, 17.
Why are you picking the Rams?
I believe in the Steelers' defense. However, I believe the Angels in the outfield just run out sometimes.
Well, we talked about this last week, too, like what team you think is going to run. Because this happens every year.
Exactly.
And I think this is the team just because of the schedule.
And that's fair. I don't think this is the game they're going to make that run on.
Well, they're in the middle of the run. They won three in a row.
Yeah, but I don't think...
This be a slight speed bump.
Yeah, it's a little speed bump.
The hard tackle.
That's what we have. Guess what? It's kid zone. Got to slow down.
Yeah. I don't know. Cleveland twice. Cincinnati. Arizona. No, actually, that's their schedule.
I already told you, man.
Cleveland twice. Cincinnati.
All Cleveland had to do is fire Freddie Kitchens. And they
Arizona, Buffalo, the Jets, and the Ravens week 17.
They'd be in the Super Bowl if they fire Freddie Kitchens.
And the Ravens may not play anybody. The Ravens may not even need to play that game at all.
Ooh, Ravens may be in the Super Bowl.
So, yeah, fun stuff. So the next game we have here is Minnesota playing your Dallas Cowboys, Sunday Night Football.
Oh,
the Cowboys
God.
Are 3-point favorites. So I found a very fun stat. You want to have a giggle? You have a good time?
Is it a Kirk Cousins stat?
Yeah.
Yeah, give it to me.
All right, Kirk Cousins and losses.
Yeah.
56.6% completion percentage, 4 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, 8 sacks taken. His throws to Thielen and Diggs in those games, 16-34, 242 yards. Whenever in wins this year, 114 out of 147, 77.6% completion percentage, 12 touchdown ones to one interception, on throws over 15 yards, 50% completion percentage, 15 out of 30, 502 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Diggs and Thielen and Diggs. I guess we can just call them Thigs.
Diggs
and wins. So
Thigs together.
49 out of 61, 858 yards, 9 touchdowns. So it's like, yeah, throw play action, throw it deep. Give it to those guys. And there's a lot of games where it doesn't happen for them.
You're not going to have Diggs for this game, though.
Yeah. Diggs is going to play, but
The is not in this game. So that's why I'm actually pretty okay. I just still think
How
that.
How are you feeling? I'm okay.
I'm feeling a little bit weird, but I also like that we're going up against Kirk Cousins, and I think that he's hopefully going to have to be forced to throw. Because if Dalvin Cook goes off, he's the only thing I worry about. Just shut him down.
He had problems against Kansas City last week, though.
Yeah, yes and no.
He didn't do anything.
Yes
Their run game was bad.
The thing is, though, they had opportunities. That's kind of my issue. They had the opportunities there. They just didn't really take advantage. And they kind of went nowhere. And I got you with the defense. But that's what I mean by Kansas City's defense being able to believe. I don't know, man. There's a lot of Angels in the outfield.
So you
want
to hear the Vikings' last drive of that game?
Yeah, give it that.
First and 10, pass defense, line of scrimmage. He's trying to throw a short pass.
Of course.
Second 10, screen. Sorensen was sitting on the safety. They lost 7 yards in second 10, the screen pass.
That's good.
You're paying your quarterback $31 million. You need a score on this drive.
But you also...
You're running a screen pass in second and 10.
But it's also to Dalvin Cook.
No, it wasn't.
Who was on the screen then?
No, it was like their backup tight end. It wasn't the Cook. Third and 17. Sure. He was nearly sacked. Throws the ball away. They punt. Kansas City closes the game out.
I thought it was.
I just watched the game today.
So did I.
And they didn't even throw that mean screen pass to Cook. Their screen to that backup tight end. It was Tamir Abdullah.
Did the one that worked was to Cook and Abdullah?
I think it was the one that wide receiver. They ran a bunch of screens to try to attack their linebackers.
Abdullah scored.
Yeah. But that was on a swing pass where nobody covered him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. Either way, that's kind of where I'm not having really confidence in the team. What hurts is that they did lose, so they're going to be coming out a little bit more for blood. But I think you're still going to have to rely on Kirk Cousins because I would hope that DeMarcus Lawrence, who, by the way, is wanting to earn a paycheck each and every single week from now on. I don't know what's going on with this guy.
I think part of that, too, is he had a lot of pressures. He didn't have sacks. And when you consistently pressure the quarterback, you're going to make plays eventually.
Well, he's
getting sacks now. He's doing great now.
And I think that Robert Quinn helps. And I hate to say
I heard Bennett looked pretty good.
Bennett's looking great.
Yeah. Sixth round pick.
I hate Michael Bennett.
so much. Just enjoy it, man. I'm not a fan of the Bennett brothers at all. I've never been a fan of them.
I like how short his sleeves are on his pants.
They're always short sleeved. But pretty cool. I like it only because Rashard has been with him, so it's okay. And they know each other, and it's the defense that they've been around. So it all works together. I like that he's on the team. And also, not to get too political, but he was standing on the sideline. How weird. Interesting. First time that he's stood for quite a while there.
I mean, Jerry Jones walking out there.
I think he probably made a call to Martellus. Martellus was like, Jerry will take care of you. You take care of Jerry. Jerry will take care of you.
Yeah. We're training for a 6th-round pick, but we'll help you out.
And that worked, by the way. The 6th-round, that's a steal.
It's a great trade.
Good Lord.
And Belichick's kind of like, where he just, there's some guys that don't work out with him.
And he just, once you have a problem with Bill Belichick or say something against Bill Belichick, that hoodie, it comes out. And once it's on, it's not off.
So do you want to hear the opposite? You want to hear Dak Prescott on wins and losses this year?
Give me my quarterback.
72.4% completion percentage in wins. Mm-hmm. 13 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. 9.1 yards an attempt. Passes classified as deep to Amari Cooper in those games. 9 for 13, 70% completion percentage.
He's getting MRI.
281 yards, 3 touchdowns. Losses, his completion percentage drops down to 65.8%. 2 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. 8.2 yards and 10, which is about 1 yard difference. And then deep passes to Cooper, 4 for 7, 57.1%, 120 yards, 0 touchdowns.
He's getting MRI today. I don't know what the results were on it. I just...
Bad. They're bad.
Awful.
He's never going to be able to play again.
Yeah. My concern is really, I don't like how dependent Dak is on Amari. I love Amari to death. I think Amari's the greatest thing. But it's like the moment Amari's out of the game, Dak looks lost for the first 5 minutes until he gets comfortable with somebody else. I don't like the lost look. I think you need to be able to have a plan B besides Gallup, who shouldn't have had that popcorn because he eats popcorn before every single game because he is Butterfingers.
Is he just filling it up?
Oh, my God. He drops everything. Doesn't matter what it is.
Is he doing?
It's dropped.
Is he doing butter stands before the game?
Dude, he's doing something with butter. I don't know what it is.
And hey, let's go see the movies and I'll hold you up and you can just...
I don't know what you're going to...
Just chug butter out of that and I'll pump it for you. You know?
I don't want to do this.
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
Yeah, either way, Gallup kind of makes me mad. This overall team, I'm liking the defense.
They don't have any of the receivers, really, though. So or you can give it to Tavon Austin. And,
no, we're going to give it to Jason
Cobb.
Wynn, baby.
And let Wynn
Jason Wynn is the real deal.
Third and two and fall down.
Jason Wynn's
He runs
great.
Like his pants around his ankles.
Yeah, I know, but yet he's somehow always open. Can you explain
that? Yeah, because he just sits in zone coverage. Like he recognizes coverages immediately. He's like, okay, this is cover 3. I'm going to run the seam. I'm going to sit after I get past the second level. Okay, I got a 5-yard catch on 3rd and 2.
Are you saying that you could do Jason Wynn's job?
No, because I can't recognize defenses like he can. I'm not saying I can, but I don't know. If I was 38, and played football for 27 years. Yeah. So the other thing that's very important about this game, too, is the Vikings run the most play action football 35% of the time. They average 8.6 yards an attempt. The Cowboys allow 7.8 yards a play against play action, too. But they have the 6th best defense against non-play action passes. So they can get take advantage a little bit with play action. And I know Van Der Esch may not play. Maybe another week is Sean Lee. Are you concerned about that at all? Are you worried about the Vikings play action passing game?
Yeah, no, I really am. And that's what I mean by I think the entire key here is Cook all the way. I just want to be able to shut that down. If we shut that down, I feel like we have a really good shot. If he gets over 100 yards, I feel like we're screwed. I think that's what it's really coming down to because then... Man, if Kirk Cousins throws a deep touchdown against me, I'm going to cry.
If Kirk Cousins beat you.
I hate Kirk Cousins. I think he's 1-6 against us.
What's going to hurt more, losing Kirk Cousins or losing Sam Darnold? That loss is so bad. I was looking at everything today. I was like, man, that's an awful loss.
No, man, because it was the return of Sam Darnold. So it just happens. Okay. Somebody has to be that. All right, we're the whipping dog sometimes. And you show up for the Cowboys game. I would say... This will probably be worse. I don't want Kirk Cousins to win. And it would be a nice little confidence booster for the team to also beat that Minnesota defense is really what I feel. I need Zeke to get some touchdowns here. He can't break away. Yeah. And Pollard didn't look good on the big stage. I don't know, man.
Well, I do like their defense. They haven't covered that well this year. Trey Waynes hasn't played that well.
Oh, no. Byron Jones has lost some money.
I'm talking about Minnesota. Minnesota hasn't covered that well. And they're always like, well, yeah, they have great cornerbacks on the outside and that sort of thing. But no, they haven't really covered that well. Instead, it's all about their pass rush. Everson Griffin, Danelle Hunter have combined for 14 sacks, 30 quarterback hits, and 53 pressures. Also, I kind of like their like defensive linemen. Now, aside from Linval Joseph, he doesn't really rush the passer. But they have a bunch of guys who are like three-year pros, four-year pros from like a bunch of unnamed, unknown guys. Like, oh, I kind of like that Easterby guy. Oh, I kind of like... I was about to say, you can't even look at it. I like this guy. This guy's pretty good. I keep doing stuff
it's
like that.
It's like the longest name so on the back of a jersey.
They're pretty deep on the defensive line, too. They don't cover very well. And so I think Dallas wins this game if Cooper's healthy. And
who knows?
And I really think that's what it kind of comes down to for them.
I feel like even without Cooper, we should win this game. That's what I hate about this team. No matter what, I'm confident in the Dallas Cowboys to win every single game that's remaining on their schedule, even though their schedule is a gauntlet at this point.
Do you want
to
hear it?
Yeah, give it to it. Because at least give it to the audience. Let them know what I believe in. Because this is what a fan does, Matt. I want you to pay attention. This is what a fan is. He believes in his team. He has a pick against him against the Jacksonville Jaguars in London.
I picked him to win. No, by 3 points.
Yeah, you're terrible.
Well, I mean,
you
the Jaguars are at home.
You put a safe bet. That's what you did.
I mean, I thought
you didn't believe.
I thought the Jaguars would throw the ball more than once down 20 yards down the field.
No
in
way.
The first half, and they didn't.
They didn't have Blake Bortles, the London MVP.
He's really wasn't. Yeah, I guess he had a few good games there.
He had like he averaged.
Well,
I
just think about that game last. No, he didn't. I think about that game last.
Six
lost
touchdowns.
No, he didn't. So
eight.
Dallas plays Minnesota. At Detroit, at New England, Buffalo on
there
Thanksgiving
go.
Day.
There you go.
God.
Yo, are we going to have Thanksgiving together?
I'll come over.
Yeah, come over.
Yeah.
All right,
we live
cool.
close enough. You know, our cool. parents live close enough. I'll come over for that. Yeah, I can't wait for that one.
Yeah.
They play at Chicago.
We should bet $100 on that game.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. At Chicago, Los Angeles, at Philly, Washington. I mean, really, this game's going to come down to week 16. For Dallas.
Please
They're
stop talking.
They're not going to win a wild card.
Please stop talking.
That Jets game was awful. But yeah, it's going to come down to week 16 against Philly for y'all.
I don't want to talk
Unless
to
they
you.
Blow it. They can also blow it.
I don't want to talk to you right now.
I guess what's going to happen. So what's your pick for this game? How are you feeling? Like 9, 8 on the confidence scale?
I'm so-so still. Again, I don't know what team I'm going to get. I hope it's a team that shows up. If it's the team that I've been watching for the past 2 weeks, okay, cool. I picked Dallas, 31. I have Minnesota, 26.
Oh. Wow.
I like my pauses. My pauses are so much better
than yours.
Stop
trying to copy me.
What are you talking about? What do you have? Are you looking at my notes?
No, I'm talking about the pauses. I don't care about the score.
Dude, I pause all the time. You don't pause.
No, I started the pause, dude.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. So I have Dallas, 26. Oh, yeah. The Minnesota Vikings, 20.
You got a low-scoring game?
Yeah. I don't feel good. I don't feel good about any of these games. My confidence is shaken.
Yeah, you're tied with me.
I have no idea.
Should be shaken.
I'm
the stir and you're the shake.
I have no idea what I'm doing, man.
We shake and stir.
But there's gonna be some fun games this weekend, though, at least. The last game, I haven't watched Monday Night Football once this year, except for the Houston game against New Orleans.
Watch it now.
I may actually watch this one live. Seattle, San Francisco. The Seahawks are 7-2. San Francisco 49ers are 8-0. The 49ers are at home. They're 6-point favorites. So Seattle, their offensive line's been bad. Their defensive line's been bad. San Francisco's all offensive and defensive line's been very good. And Seattle with Clowney, like their entire defensive line's healthy now. So it's Clowney, it's Quinn Jefferson. It's Jerome Reed. It's Ezekiel Ansah. Clowney has 2 sacks, 7 quarterback hits, 33 pressures, which is, I think, third in the league. Quinn Jefferson, 2 sacks, 7 quarterback hits, 16 pressures. Ansah, 1 sack, 3 quarterback hits, 9 pressures. Really, he's done nothing at all. They are 20th in adjusted sack rate. Or no, my mistake. They have 15 sacks this season. They're 31st in adjusted sack rate, 4.9%. They're 26th in pressure rate. They can't get to the quarterback. On the inverse of that, their offensive line's given up 22 sacks. They're last in pressure rate. Russell Wilson's the most pressured quarterback in football this year, and he's only avoided 2 sacks this season. And they're going up against the team that has the best who's the best pass blocking offensive lines so far this year. They also have 30 sacks this year, which is I think second in football, and they have that their first in just a sack rate too. So it's like this is kind of a bad matchup for Seattle, where if you're expecting them to win, you're just kind of going all in on Russell Wilson in this case.
You're doubting the magician?
No, I'm saying this is a bad environment for him.
Okay.
This is an awful situation.
We do not doubt the magician.
How is this anything? I haven't even said anything at all about Russell
You know
Wilson.
What? All I
Did
can
I say anything about him?
All no. I can hear is this defense is just going to swallow him up. This is what
I didn't say
Russell
that at all.
Wilson. You know what? It's just what you're kind of sounding like over there.
I
don't
I
like
said
it.
Anything
you know
else
what?
Yet.
I don't like where you're coming from. Look, you're throwing a lot of attitude over there, and I don't appreciate it. So you better say the name with respect.
All I did was just turn some music on, I lit a candle, set the environment. This is what Russell Wilson's up against this week. And like, also, I've been watching Seattle.
Blow the
like,
candle off.
When I was watching Seattle going into this podcast we're doing right now, I was like, I think this is the best I've seen Seattle's offensive line block. And then you look at the numbers, you're like, oh no. But part of it's just
no,
also
it's not.
Like, you know, Wilson holds on to the ball and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
He makes things happen and
makes
you know, he draws
happen.
It off a lot more. I think the biggest matchup advantage that San Francisco has from a pass rush perspective is DeForest Buckner. It's Eric Armstead on the inside against Mike Iupati. Like, you can really take advantage of him on the interior.
I think you're going to be surprised because I don't know if I'm going to pick it here. I'm still kind of on the fence of what I'm picking with this game. But I'm sensing a shootout. I got a lot of sense here for a shootout here where I feel like everyone's expecting some defensive game, maybe with Seattle trying to run the ball, but it's not going to work. Russell Wilson throwing the ball to Lockett, which I think will work. And then San Fran on the other side, Jimmy G and Emmanuel Sanders are long-lost lovers. Because somehow they have a connection already. I think that's the
have
most
they
ridiculous.
Lived a thousand lifetimes together.
That's ridiculous to me. It's been 2.5 weeks, and they're incredible together.
My favorite play they ran was that when they quick snapped to the huddle on 4th and 2, and they had Sanders at fullback, and like Jimmy like threw it through the linebacker, and hit him in the corner. That was a beautiful play. I enjoyed that.
I think it's insane. And Emmanuel Sanders looks great, by the way. He's getting open.
He's been great for 4 years.
You just can't tell because he was playing with Joe Flacco.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's always been great, though.
It's just great to see. I just can't believe it. And also on the other side, too, man, Kittle is the best tight end in the league.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I don't think there's any. Kelce, I'm sorry, and all that.
He can't block like he can.
This year, Kittle, it's insane. Oh, my first look is going to be Sanders. He's not open. He has 4 guys on him now. I'm just going to throw it to Kittle.
Well, the thing is about them, too, it's like it's the run game sets up their passing game. They're one of the few teams in the league that does that. And I think last week's game against Arizona was really important because they load up the block. They load up the box against San Francisco. Tevin Coleman had 12 carries for 23 yards. Matt Breida had 15 carries for 78 yards.
Breida
but
killed it.
2 of those carries took up 40 of those yards. They were just toss plays. If you remove those carries, that's 13 carries for 38 yards. And the Cardinals did a really good job loading the box, putting a defender in every single gap and stopping the run. And then Garoppolo came out and then threw 317 yards and 4 touchdowns. And so then
good.
That game was very important because Garoppolo hadn't really done anything yet this year. He was making easy throws. There would be nothing from him until the third quarter. Like, oh, that's a tough throw finally. Everything had been so easy for him. And this was like last week against Arizona. They have a bad pass defense, but it was the first game where I actually like saw Garoppolo carry the offense for the first time.
But even like using your own tier levels, are you impressed that Garoppolo is doing this against this type of team?
What team? What type of team?
Arizona.
No, they have a bad pass defense.
That's what I mean. So are you even That's what I mean that you were kind of like saying that he did something this time around.
I'm not saying
that
I was impressed by it, but I think it was very important that he did that.
I don't know.
Because he hasn't done much
on the pass defense. I just don't think that it was that impressive. I feel like this is what you're supposed to do. This is a Blake Bortles type game.
No, I said it was important. I didn't say it was impressive.
If he does it against Seattle, though.
Well, in Seattle.
Now we're talking.
I mean, like, Seattle has had trouble stopping the run. And they've also, like, they can't play man coverage.
If he goes up against the magician and goes toe-to-toe and outperforms him. Matt, I mean, you don't outperform the magician. This isn't the prestige, okay?
He's not going to do that, though. They win this game, it's going to be they run for 200 yards, and then Garoppolo is like 250 yards passing.
Who's Christian Bale and who's Hugh Jackman?
I don't think you can put Garoppolo in the same company at all whatsoever. It's not Deshaun Watson versus Russell Wilson. That'd be entirely different. You
so
know?
That's what. Who's who on that?
I would say Wilson's Christian Bale.
Yeah. You're so not a Texan fan. Good. You're the worst. You put him as Hugh Jackman. The piece of crap that dies in the end because he doesn't know about sacrifice in performing the trick.
I mean, Wilson.
God, I love The Prestige so much.
Yeah, I haven't seen him forever.
It's so good.
The other thing here, too, it's San Francisco covers wide receivers number one, number two very well. They rank 10th and 11th in DVOA. And then this season, they've been kind of like really absurd. Metcalf and Lockett, 88 catches, 126 targets, 1,292 yards, 11 touchdowns, 10.25 yards in attempt. Wilson's made, I think, four of the best throws I've seen this year.
It's nuts.
And I wrote about today, I was like, this is the best throw I've seen this year. Oh, actually, wait, it's this one. And that throw he made against Baltimore, they had the free rusher. It's like two steps back that fade to lock it down the center of the field. I'm like, it's unbelievable. Like, I love the high arc he throws with.
It's a rainbow ball.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's so beautiful. Sierra gives that to him.
I don't think so.
What do you
He's
mean?
He's been doing this forever, man.
Still, Sierra gives him the extra rainbow. It's like she adds an extra layer. She adds a new color to the rainbow.
Love can do a lot of miraculous things.
It's like a
wow.
It's like a different type of blue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love can do so much.
Sky blue.
We really need it.
We need it in our lives.
But, and yeah, the other thing is like Seattle just really hasn't stopped the run all that well too. And their defense line has been very disappointing. I thought it was going to be a lot better. Last week against Tampa Bay, they played a lot of two deep safeties. And Mike Evans just like caught everything for 15 yards, 18 yards. And they can play hitman coverage against the middle whatsoever. And yeah, this is a weird game.
Simpson shootout. I'm still going with shootout here.
I think so, but...
Ooh, don't copy me. Don't copy me.
I'm not going to pick it, but I can
good.
See what
I want you to put like 18-12.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Coward.
All this being said, I think the point spread's too high, so I'm going to take Seattle with the points. So I have Seattle winning 27-24.
I have Seattle winning 38. I have Jimmy G 31. Take that,
wow.
Suckers.
Crazy.
There it is.
Crazy stuff.
The magician does not lose. Not
I mean, he's lost
Jimmy
two games this year.
Okay, seriously, why do you have to?
But, no, let me finish talking. Let me finish talking. New Orleans had two non-offensive touchdowns, and he was up against 5-0 franchise quarterback Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay.
And against Baltimore, the Ravens had two non-offensive touchdowns in that game, too.
I love how you say Teddy Bridgewater's name every single time.
5-0.
5-0.
Franchise quarterback.
5-0 franchise quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater.
Sit your ass down, Drew. So, let the legend take over.
Oh, God.
I don't know if I can stomach watching New Orleans again.
Yeah,
Bridgewater.
You know, is Teddy B, is he going to get a job? What's his contract like?
He's paid like $7.5 million this year. Yeah, he's the highest paid backup quarterback in football.
He's going to stay. I would stay if I was him.
I think he's just going to stay. I think he's going to ride it out.
You got nothing else to do.
He's just gonna, like, every time Brees throws an interception, he's going to wink at him.
Hey.
I'm waiting.
Right here, baby.
Yeah.
You know what? See that pass?
I got one glove on. I'm about to put the second glove on. You better watch out.
Drew, nice 30-yard pass. I would have thrown that 2-yard pass.
No, that's not true.
No.
You gotta start
Look at that. I got
you
your feelings now.
You could say that against Dallas. Like, he checked out Flea Flicker, which is hilarious, but... He really started pushing
what
you
all do
downfield
on a flea
later,
flicker, right?
later in the year. From the Tampa game on, all downfield, man.
Oh, yeah.
He was doing it.
Against Tampa, huh?
He did against Jacksonville,
Seems
too.
Like everybody does it against Tampa.
Jacksonville's a top 10 pass defense, did against Jacksonville.
What'd y'all do against Jacksonville?
Scored like 30 points.
Yeah.
But they beat up on their linebackers. The Jags are bad linebackers.
So weird. It was almost like Taylor said that Jacksonville wouldn't score a lot of points. Do you remember that?
You just picked them to score 16.
Do you remember that, man? I think I remember that.
I really do think Jacksonville were like, okay, we need to stop the Minshew thing. We need Foles to start. We're going to use a bad offensive game plan. Go on the bye. Get Foles back out here. I still can't get over how dumb their game plan was at that time.
It seems like there's a lot of dumb game plans with Green Bay, with them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of just ridiculous. Tennessee in the first half. It was just ridiculous things to watch where it goes, what are y'all even planning? What are y'all doing in the offseason, huh?
What are you doing all week?
Yeah. Y'all watching shows? Y'all watching Mindhunters too?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
Well, that's what kind of drives me crazy about the Texans, where it's like, okay, so it's 27 minutes in the game, and now you're like, oh, the Raiders can't cover DeAndre Hopkins. Now we're going to throw him the ball 15 yards down the field. Okay, I'm glad that we took 27 minutes to get to this point. And they did the same thing against Indianapolis too.
Wait,
we figured it out.
Wow, they're bad. Oh, we can do that? Yeah. That's kind of thing drives me crazy. But they had great game playing Jackson, worked out very well. They're 6-3. You want to hear their schedule?
Yeah, let me hear their schedule.
You ready? It's off the top of my head.
Give it to me.
Bye week.
Ooh.
We're hanging out. We're going to the gym. We're catching up. We're binge watching. We're catching up. We're going back to the old high school. Next week, Baltimore, 12 o'clock. They may flex it to Sunday Night Football. Week after that,
sure.
Indianapolis. Jacoby Brissett's going to play that game, of course. After that, it's Tom Brady and the New England Patriots in New England.
Sounds good.
Then they play Denver. Then Tennessee, then Tampa, and then Tennessee.
You excited?
I think I'm going to win like 10 or 11 games.
There you go, man.
I want to try to get one of those Tennessee games, maybe.
Whatever, dude. You're not.
I might make the pilgrimage. Head to Mecca.
You're
make
a poser.
The pilgrimage out there.
Go to Florida. That's where you want to be.
It's just a vacation time, bro.
Whatever, man. Go to Buffalo. Go to Florida.
Oh, man.
God, you're the worst.
Maybe I'm going to go to Dallas. For that Bills game on Thanksgiving.
You sound like your brother. Taylor, I'm a Dallas fan. No.
I go hang out with him over
there. No, you're not.
So to recap for tonight, for this week, we have the KC-Tennessee masterpiece game. I have Kansas City 30-24. You have Tennessee. You have KC 28-23. For Los Angeles-Pittsburgh, I have Pittsburgh 26-23. You have Los Angeles 25-17. Because I guess all angels die in the outfield. Minnesota-Dallas, I have Dallas 26-20.
That better be the title of your podcast.
You have all angels die in the outfield. That's the name of my new album coming out.
Oh,
and you have
hardcore.
Dallas 31-26. And then Seattle-San Francisco, I have Seattle 27-24. You have Seattle 38-31. So.
Hell yeah, baby. I rock.
You're still listening to the show, of course. And since you're listening to the show still, you should... give that podcast 5 stars. Hit the subscribe button.
Post it on all of your social medias.
Social
what are
you
even
you
doing?
The other thing, too, it's like, you know, the only thing there is in the world is love and friendship and community and the wilderness. And reality is completely manipulated by the elite. So foster that community. Foster that friendship.
The hell?
Foster that love. Send the podcast to everybody you care about. Give it 5 stars. Let the world know.
They're giving it like a half star now.
This is a lifestyle. This is a movement right here. This isn't a podcast.
Yeah. Dude, what the hell, man?
It's important. So, anyways, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Melbourne Radio. And thank you for being on tonight, Taylor.
We could have had 5 stars.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.